from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, longtime Bay Area journalist Vic Lee is retiring. A presence on local television since the 70s, Lee's reporting has documented a changing Bay Area. He'll join Forum to share what he's learned from a life in journalism and his plans for the future. Then at 10:30, we'll get the latest on the devastating Australian bushfires and what California can learn from them with New York Times reporter Thomas Fuller, normally based in San Francisco. He is currently in Australia reporting on the wildfires. That's all next, after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
And that's the very latest from Vallejo and Divisadero. Back to you, Vic Lee, ABC 7 News.
Well, after nearly 50 years reporting for television news outlets in the Bay Area, veteran journalist Vic Lee is retiring. Vic Lee covered some of the most critical stories of an evolving Bay Area, from the 1978 assassination of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk to last month's controversial opening of a homeless navigation center in the Embarcadero. Also of note is Lee's viral 2011 story on Dusty the Klepto Cat, the literal cat burglar in San Mateo, who even made an appearance at Lee's retirement party. Joining me now to reflect on his career in journalism is Vic Lee.
Pleasure to be here, Michael.
I'm delighted to have you here, and congratulations on really an outstanding and an incredible career. Those of us who have admired you through the years, not only for covering news with such diligence and so thoroughly, but also some of these great human interest and entertainment stories. I mean, you really – plus your background goes back to international stories. I want to really cover as much as we can here. But the first thing I've got to ask you, because I just saw something on Facebook that was posted by Tui Vu, all these young Asian American journalists at an Asian American Journalists Association meeting, and there are a lot of them now.
There are.
When you started, I mean, you were an outlier. You were one of the, you and Belva Davis were probably in the Bay Area about the only couple people reporting of color.
Well, you know, it was pretty lonely at the beginning, Michael. I started in 1972. And, you know, at the time I came from United Press International in Los Angeles. So I came from the print and into television. And, you know, I looked around and I saw just a few Asian faces and almost no Asian male faces. I think at the time it was Chris Chow at KPIX, a young Asian American reporter, and I think David Louie also started in 1972, but that was it. And there was no encouragement from anybody to encourage me to go on the air, although I wanted to because I was a reporter in Los Angeles for UPI, but no one seemed to care about you know, minority faces on the air. They said, "Oh, just go on the management track." So I went writing, producing. I became assignment editor for about eight years or so before I actually went on the air, which was probably good because I learned the ropes of TV news. And when I went on the air, I was ready. But it was pretty lonely, and you know, there was a lot of discrimination.
Come a long way, though, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a long
way to go.
Nice 50 year run.
Half century, yeah.
Yeah.
What a career you've had.
Well,
I mean,
thank you.
You talk about beginning at the UPI, and you were covering international stories. That's unheard of now by local news operations because everything pretty much comes off wires and the like. But you were out in Africa. In fact, you won an award for your coverage in Africa, I believe.
Yeah. Boy, that was one of the most, in fact, the most grueling, most impactful assignment I think I've ever had. During those days in the 80s and 90s, Cron, which was owned by the Chronicle at the time, was a station with a lot of money, a lot of resources. Reporters traveled all over the world, literally, and we were a network NBC affiliation. And NBC had something called the News Channel, an affiliate program, and they sponsored me along with Cron to go to Asia mostly because I speak Chinese and Japanese. I was raised, born in China, raised in Japan. And so I travel to Asia a lot, cover the Hong Kong handover, the Philippine coup, was in Korea for a month. But the Sudan experience was by far the most memorable because we were traveling with a group of nurses and a convoy delivering supplies in the 80s during that incredibly tragic famine and drought in Sudan amid civil war. And we traveled from refugee camp to refugee camp, just so much dying. It was just something that I'll never forget.
Well, you won a gold award for that, and you have a lot of glory as a veteran broadcaster, a lot of awards, George Polk Award, and I could go through the list. There's some Emmys. But you mentioned also the fact that you speak, and this is unusual, I mean, speaking both Chinese and Japanese, but you were born in Shanghai and raised in Tokyo.
And, you know all about me, Michael.
Well, they can put on my tombstone he did his homework. But also, student body president of San Jose State.
You got me. You're right.
It's been an illustrious career from way back. And you started out at the New York Times, I believe.
I did. I was an intern there. And that was quite an experience. You know, I was a political science major. And I was so fortunate to get that internship. And I must admit, my father, who was a famous journalist in Asia, he covered the Korean War with this New York Times correspondent called Abe Rosenthal, the legendary Abe Rosenthal.
He was legendary indeed.
Yeah, who later became editor of the New York Times. And so they became good buddies. And, you know, my father wanted me to go into journalism. And I was sort of debating it, didn't really want to compete against Dad.
It's a family business.
Yeah, I know. It was in my DNA, as I later found out. But, you know, Dad was too much to compete against. And so Dad said, why don't you do an internship at the New York Times? I said, right. I'm a political science major. You know, great chance. Everybody who's journalism is applying for this post with the Times. So he just made a call to Abe, his buddy, and by golly, I got one of the 12 positions, which I want to apologize to all of the other journalism majors out there who hopefully became great journalists, but I that's how I got in through the back
door.
World
still works that way, Vic, and you have become a great journalist. Talking again with Vic Lee, a veteran news reporter who worked with Kron News and most recently with ABC News, and we had not only a specialty of covering some of these offbeat stories. I want to talk to you, of course, about KleptoCat because that got no less than about a million hits on the internet. But also, you were covering a lot of stories in Chinatown, and you felt it was really kind of a debt of obligation that you had. I mean, you covered some of the big stories like Shrimp Boy and Lidl and Yi, and yet had that as kind of a not only a specialty but a sense of giving back.
Yes. You're absolutely right, Michael. I felt an obligation to cover the community because there was no news coming into mainstream media here about the Chinese American community, although we were a growing community at that time. And now I think we're almost like half the population of the city. But at the time in the 80s and the early 90s, there was almost no coverage. And it came at a time, I think, the majority of my coverage, the concentration of it, came at a time when the network, NBC, offered me a job to go to Japan as a foreign correspondent. And I did not accept because the timing was bad. But my news director said, Vic, if you want to really cover Asian news, you can do it here.
And is this the story you did that led to a federal investigation?
Of
tourists? The tourists and the way they were being
explained? Yeah, that was part of the thing. I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. And, you know, since I'm not going to Asia. And they said, for 1 year, you can be the Asian affairs correspondent. Not in the biblical sense, but you can become the Asian American, Asian affairs correspondent. Do nothing but cover the Asian American community. I said, that's it, bingo. That's what I want to do. And I did it for 1 year, just Asian American news from the community. And that tourist trap story that you mentioned is one of those.
That brought not only a federal investigation, but a state investigation.
Well, that was duty-free shoppers.
Yeah.
Yes. There was a federal and a state investigation. And I think at the time, the state levied the highest fine ever for a civil case.
Well, you get on these stories and really highlight things that are so important to Bay Area viewers. And I mean, recently did a story, I know, on the SFPD and talked to Tony Montoya about how police are not being recruited, they're going into tech jobs, and you know, so difficult, of course, to mm-hmm. pay the rent here in San Francisco and all the rest of that. And these are important stories, but I wonder what stands out in your mind as the most important stories, or the stories that, because I mean, you even covered the Manson trial, I believe. And
I was one of the reporters at UPI, when I was a young reporter, just sort of filling in.
And Nixon moving to San Clemente, but let's focus on the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I mean, what stays in the archive of your head most?
Well, you know, the thing about me is that I've always treated every story as if it were the only story I covered. So every story for me was important. But memorable stories, I was a crime and courts reporter, right? So a lot of my stories dealt with crime.
You covered the Moscone Milk?
That, as an assignment editor, I covered it vicariously through coordinating the coverage of that, yes. But I wasn't a reporter at the time. The stories as assignment editor, Moscone Milk, Jonestown, Patty Hearst, Zodiac, Zebra, Serial Killings. You know, all of those stories were within a year or two of when I first joined.
Talking to Vic Lee.
Yeah.
And if you remember a Vic Lee story, or if you have a question to Vic Lee about this illustrious career that he has had here in the Bay Area or beyond, we want to hear from you. He's going to be with us up to the half hour. So if you have something you'd like to ask him or say to him, now would be the time for you to call us or to let us know. You can call us at our toll-free number. It's available right now. It's 866-733-6786. And we will indeed be glad to hear from you. Again, the number to call is 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you might have to forum@kqed.org. Here's Jake, who writes, "You rock, Mr. Lee. We will miss your dry humor and excellent journalism."
Thank you.
Another listener says, "Gosh, I remember Vic Lee going way, way back. He was always the consummate professional and great at not making himself the story or engaging in excessive frivolity. Enjoy your retirement, Mr. Lee." A lot of good wishes for you, and a lot of people really high on your work with good meritorious reasons. But keep coming back to that story about the kleptocrat. You still hear more about that.
I know. You know what? There's more than a million hits on YouTube, and it was broadcast in Japanese, in Chinese, in Europe. It was on the television networks there in Australia, I remember. But it went viral worldwide about a cat, a small cat in San Mateo County who went and stole hundreds of items from the neighbors. He went into homes at night. He always did his forays at night. Went into homes through trap doors, stole stuff from clotheslines. And the best soundbite I ever got for that story was this neighbor, this female neighbor, who said, "We know all about klepto. In fact, one day he came over and swiped the tops of my bikini. And then he came back an hour later and took the bottom." But this cat was amazing, a snowshoe cat who did this constantly every night. And Animal Kingdom actually put cameras on, sensors, nighttime cameras, and caught shots of klepto coming back with his catch, you know, including ladies' undergarments and towels.
It almost makes everything. You think, was there some reincarnation going on here? All these bikinis and undergarments,
right,
and the like?
Right, right. It was probably, yeah.
Well, you know, you had not only this expertise with respect to Asian stories and Chinatown, but also
feline stories. I mean, you covered the terrible tragedy that happened at the San Francisco Zoo with a tiger attacking and killing someone. And you also covered that story. This is a funnier, and this kind of brings together the serious news with news that's just kind of fun. That lion who was literally came. First of all, how old was Fraser the lion when he was propagating more and more lions?
Yeah, he was in his 90s, almost 100 at the
human years,
San Diego Safari Zoo or something. Yeah,
yeah, San Diego Safari Zoo. Right.
Yeah, and Fraser the lion. And one night I was at I was a night broadcast editor at UPI in Los Angeles, and part of my job was to go through press releases and rewrite them for the AMers, the morning papers, our subscribers. And I came across this press release from the San Diego Zoo and Lion Country, I think was the name of that. Anyway, it was about Fraser siring like all of these little cubs. At this age of almost 100, I said, oh, my God, this story is going to go viral. Everybody loves animal stories, and this, you know, is going to just go crazy. So I rewrote this story and sent it off. And the next morning, my editor, the bureau chief, John Lowry, called me and woke me up and said, Vic, your story is the number one story on UPI and the AMers, the newspapers. Every one of the subscribers picked it up worldwide. And so I came in, and actually the zoo made me an honorary Fraser Club member and an honorary president.
Club member, not cub member.
And not cub member. It could have been. It should have been. But they actually made a Fraser fan club out of it. I mean, they promoted the hell out of this lion. And, you know, it's just Fraser the lion. I can't get away from these feline stories.
Well, you also, I mean, the sensibility that you have knows what's going to be this kind of story through the years. You've proven that over and over again. Let's hear from you, our listeners. Paul, we begin with your call. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. Vic, love you.
I love you too, man.
Hey, I'm remembering a time after the Loma Prieta earthquake when I was working Caltrans construction. There were some traffic backups on 101, and you decided to find out why it was. And it was determined that it was Caltrans maintenance, and you chased these guys down, following them to the donut shop where they were eating a donut when you bust in asking questions about why they had lane closures. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, Vic was fearless in many instances. That's a good example.
Actually, I think I probably wanted donuts.
That's what got you in there. And there are probably a lot of policemen there out there getting a lot of donuts. Let me thank Paul for the call. I'm going to go right to you next. James in Napa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Good morning. I was curious about the death of Masataka Kobayashi. He was the San Francisco celebrity chef who was slain back in 1984.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I kind of remember it. But did you have a question about it? Because I don't know that either of us could answer.
Yeah, if there was any outcome from that, if anyone has ever figured out what exactly happened.
Kobayashi, I remember, was a chef, and there was some question about how he was killed and all of that. It's probably on Google. I think you probably find it on us. Or let me not just say Google. There are lots of search engines that you can avail yourself of, and I thank you for the call, James. Let me go right to another caller. Louise, Nick. Louise, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You guys covered cats, but now we want to move to canines. I'm the president of the Police and Working Canine Foundation. And over the years, Vic has provided tremendous support for our working dogs and the importance of them. And one of his pieces, actually, his coverage helped save the Vallejo PD canine unit from being sunsetted.
So
we want to
that.
Thank him.
Thank you very much. Well, I do remember that story.
And you covered that as well.
Yeah. Yes.
So you did go into the canine species from time to time, not just felines.
Maybe the SPCA will hire me in my next life. I don't know.
There may be a position there. Thank you, Louise. And next to Brendan in Santa Rosa. Hi, Brendan. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? So I was wondering if in your career you came across any stories or anything that piques your interest that has to do with government.
Just a kind of a muffled call here, Brendan, but he wants to know if you've covered anything with respect to government corruption story that piqued your interest.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I can't think of any offhand, but absolutely, yeah.
Well, let me thank Brendan for the call and go to a general kind of question here. How do you think the news business has changed in the Bay Area? I mean, you've been at it almost a half a century, and how has the Bay Area changed?
Well, the Bay Area obviously has changed, as you know, Michael, a lot. But in terms of the industry, the television news industry, you know, we've always been dictated by the change in technology. And the digital platform has totally revamped what we do. Technology has made smaller and easier to operate cameras. Along with that, has come the video journalist or the VJ or the MMJ, multimedia journalists. And I see a lot of that taking hold in the upcoming years, where journalists, reporters will have to shoot their own stuff. Kron is an example of a station where almost all of its reporters are VJs, shoot their own stories, even their own life shots sometimes. So that's a changing face of broadcast television news. The other thing, and it's a huge revolution, is the social media. How social media has, you know, really changed the face of local television news. It's so important for stations now to fully embrace social media, because that's where people are going. That's where they are. And that's how they get their news. So, you know, those two major changes.
I think we've got a caller on point here, and that's Dana. Dana, join us, please. Oh, it's Dan. I'm sorry. I put an A on your name, Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I'm just giving you a call to say thanks for your many years of service to the Bay Area and the way you approach people. One time you interviewed me briefly about a passing in El Cerrito and Richmond border, and you had great individual care for the person you're speaking with, as well as the practicalities of the role that you had to do. I wanted to say it would be a shame to, you know, not have you be around to help at a local college like an Ohlone or a San Mateo or one of the schools. Have you thought about that?
Geez, again, we're having problems with our phones here. I'm sorry about that, Dan, but he wants to know you're going to be teaching. He's thinking about teaching if the SPCA doesn't call immediately.
Well, Dan, you know, it's got something there. I mean, you know, I'm taking one step at a time, and that's possibly in the future.
And another listener wants to know, have you ever followed up to see what's taking place now with Leland Yee?
You know, I have not. I know he served his time. He's out.
I should mention for listeners who don't know, he was indicted for racketeering back
right.
in 2014.
And I just, you know, I think he should be left alone. He's paid his debt, and he probably wants privacy, and I respect that.
Well, a lot of respect for you, and a lot of hopes that you will go into your retirement with a lot of happiness up ahead. And thank you so much for all the great work you've done.
Thank you very much for having me here, Michael. It's an honor to be here with you.
Vic Lee, veteran news reporter who worked with Kron News and most recently with ABC News. And we're going to talk about the Australian fires that's right up ahead and find comparisons, and there are many of them, to what's gone on here. I'm Michael Krasny.